The objective, to deliver the NBA to you like no other. News, play breakdowns, power rankings, storylines you never hear talked about anywhere else. It's all straight shots here, fired by straight shooters, S and Gun. This is the Objective Basketball Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Objective Basketball Podcast with Lauren Gunn and I, your host, Esfandiar Barahini. If you think my eyes are puffy, for the people watching this on YouTube, my eyes are a little puffy, and it's because for the last maybe 3 or 4 hours straight while I've been editing a video, I've been on the side watching This Is Us. But really, I've been watching more This Is Us than I have been. And it's the last season, sobs, just tears down my face. Very hard to watch this. I don't know, Lauren, if you're a This Is Us person or have watched it at all, but it's tough. It's a tough thing to go through.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen it, but my entire family has seen it, and every now and then I'll walk in and I'll see them watching, and I'll either catch a scene enough to know kind of what's going on, but not obviously seeing the whole thing. And it is quite the tearjerker. So I applaud you for being in tune with your emotions to just let it go, to just let it out.
Everybody needs it nowadays. Facts. You know, let's not hide it. But look, we're not here to talk about tears. We're talking about different tears, I guess. T-I-E-R-S. That is all-star tears, all-star selections. That was a bad segue. We'll work it out. It's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the NBA All-Star Game starters were released earlier today. If you're listening to this tomorrow, that means they were released yesterday on Thursday night on TNT. 10 guys were named to these All-Star games, if you will, All-Star teams. And that means that there's going to be the reserves being announced next week. Now, what Lauren and I will be doing today is giving out our full teams. What we can do right now, just as kind of an aside, since we have our starters and these actual starters are released, I think we'll just go through the starters and say, hey, is there anybody that you see that you were like, ah, I don't think so. Let's swap it out. I just personally, I'm not too picky. I will say this.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat on these. I'm like, you can talk me into it. Cool. Like, sure. I don't get too riled up over all-star stuff.
Right.
But I think there are debates to be had, but I'm kind of with you. I'm not too like, no, it has to be this. These are the top five. It has to be this.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look, we're on a podcast for a reason. So let's debate. I brought my baseball bat out so I can go to bat for some of the guys. No. Oh, come on. What?
I'm kidding. No, well, where did that come from, Lauren?
I was going to go to bat for my guys. That's crazy.
I like it.
The pun was there.
It was there.
Damn.
I know. I dropped it. I dropped the ball.
It's okay. It's all right. We'll work on it. We'll get
it right. The segues, the disconnect. What's going on?
It's a Thursday night,
ladies and gentlemen. Because our teams are going downhill, so are we. We've thrown in the towel.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. Look. This wasn't a good bet to make for us to. No, I tried to do another segue.
I saw it. I sniffed it out the second. I was like, "Oh, he's going for it.
Well, while we're here, ladies and gentlemen, think you know what way it's gonna go? Make your bet at Sports Interaction. Whatever your sport, Sports Interaction has you covered. Pre-game, live betting on all major sports and prop bets. Want to bet? Head to sportsinteraction.com/SDPN. 19 plus, please play responsibly. Also, there's an app. You can scan the QR code, download it, all that stuff. You'll see it on your screen if you're watching on YouTube. So let's get into our All-Star Game selections. We'll start with the East. You want to start with the East? You want to start with the West?
Yeah, I like that. I think the East.
Okay, cool. So from the fan votes, the media votes, the player votes, we got these five All-Stars. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Kyrie Irving, and Donovan Mitchell. Any quarrels? Anything that jumps out to you? I know there's two spots that I think people are pretty angry about right now, but I'm curious to hear what you say.
Yeah, I think it's hard because when I look at this, I also tend to naturally just be like, okay, what position do you naturally play most? And yeah, there are times when Giannis is playing the five, but in my kind of tiers, I guess. In my starters, I did have Joel Embiid in there, which then you're kind of looking at, and this has happened in both the East and the West, and we all kind of saw it coming. There's going to be a guy that is more than qualified to be an all-star starter.
Absolutely.
And is not going to get it. And so for me, I gave Kevin Durant the boot to the bench, really, right, just because I think Jason Tatum, the record, the numbers, to me, there's just no debate. And then Giannis is also up there in terms of being an MVP candidate. So that was a very hard one. But I don't know, Joel Embiid at the five versus Giannis at the five, and having all three of those kind of, so that's kind of where my head was at. But again, it's a very difficult kind of, oh, well, he's maybe less worthy. Does that make sense? Where were you at on it?
No, I agree with you. Look, I think the East front court is as stacked as the West guard spot is.
Yes, 100%.
It's really tough to make your decision. You could name multiple starters and you really, like, you wouldn't have a wrong answer here. I think anybody between Embiid, Giannis, Tatum, and Durant would be the right answer. Now here for the actual All-Star game, it ended up being Durant, Giannis, and Tatum, with Embiid most likely, without a doubt, coming off the bench. He's going to get the reserve nod for sure. I think for me, when I did the video, I think I did an All-Star predictions video maybe two, 3 weeks ago. And look, 2-3 weeks do make it's a pretty big difference because things change, games played changes, the efficiency of guys start missing time, etc., especially with Durant. I'd made the video maybe a couple of days after Durant's MCL thing. So now it's been a couple of weeks with Joel and the Sixers kind of rising. Embiid has been absolutely dominant. I mean, he's putting up 33.4. He was the point leader literally last night until Luka overtook him again. So he's averaging 33.4 points, 9.8 rebounds, and 4 assists on just ridiculous, absurd efficiency. That is MVP caliber numbers. He's putting up anything that's bananas. And honestly, look, all four of those guys are MVP caliber guys.
Which is crazy. Giannis. It's just crazy.
It's insane. Giannis, KD, Tatum, Embiid. You really can't go wrong. I think my thing here, why so just to say what I did is I also went Giannis, Durant, and Tatum, and I put Embiid on the bench. And the reason I did that was games played. I think that plays a bit of a factor. We're talking about the whole half of the season here, a little bit more than half of the season. Mm-hmm. And between those guys, Embiid has played the least amount of games. It goes Tatum, who's played the most, and then it goes, I believe, Durant, who's played the second most, and then Giannis, and then Embiid. To me, I think between Giannis and Embiid, you can go back and forth. Embiid has probably had a better season, but games played, it's the thing that I kind of lead with. And yes, it's two games, but at this point, availability is something that you're like, we're saying these are four MVP caliber players, Lauren. This is not like me saying this guy is head and shoulders above this guy.
Right.
They are all worthy, all deserving. But if we have to go and nitpick, games played probably makes a lot of sense to be that area where we delineate. I'm going to take Embiid off the bench, have it as Giannis, Tatum, and Durant. At the guard spots, do you have any quarrels? I think Donovan Mitchell was a lock. There was no question in my mind. Like, he was solidified halfway through the season.
Definitely.
That second guard spot, I feel like you can go multiple ways.
Definitely.
They went Kyrie Irving. You could have gone Jaylen Brown. You could have gone, some people would say, Tyrese Halliburton. You could go James Harden. I think those are all pretty good answers.
Yeah.
I don't mind the Kyrie answer, although to be honest with you, I listened to Zach Lowe and he kind of had a point about it. It's like, dude, if you were causing so much trouble this season, there's no real way for me to like go ahead and vote for you and say yes, I'm gonna go ahead and make you an all-star starter. This regardless of how good you're playing right now. The amount of trouble that he caused at the start of the season for the Brooklyn Nets carries a certain level of weight. So I understand that argument.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
To just have that conversation. But yeah, I did ultimately stick with Kyrie. But okay. I think that I was looking at Tyrese. But for me, the biggest three things are like standings, positioning, are the numbers there, but then also yep. games played. So to me, it's are you, everybody's putting up the numbers. That's why they're a part of this conversation, but are you contributing to wins, and is your team winning, and are you there? If you're not there, if you're on the bench, then that carries less weight with me. And so for me, it's kind of those two biggest factors. And Kyrie, obviously the Nets are really doing quite well right now, and I think he's he is a big part of that. Not I think, he's very much a big part of that. So I did give him the nod there, but I'm with you. I think you could have definitely gone a lot of different directions, which is fascinating. It's very fascinating.
Yeah. I went with Brown, and not just because of the whole Kyrie saga situation. I went with him because Brown genuinely deserved it also. He's averaging 27 on one of the best offensive teams in the league. Probably, you know, they kind of go back and forth between the best offensive team and one of the best offensive teams. Seems like every other night. He is shooting way too efficiently from the mid-range area. He's shooting a career high. From the mid-range, he's getting to his shots. He looks more comfortable creating for himself. The three-point shot is there. I think for me, it's like he has been such an overwhelming scorer for one of the best offensive teams. I think it makes sense for him to be the second All-Star starter just because of how good he's been. Right. He's played so well off of Tatum. I think the defense has improved. And that's been a big thing I've harped on with Jaylen Brown in the past is like, his off-ball awareness on defense just hasn't been there, like for me at least, in the last couple of seasons. But it seems like from what I've watched this year, he's gotten much better on that end. He's more attentive. He's more locked in. The on-ball stuff is always there with him. It was just the off-ball kind of attentiveness that sometimes slipped. I think he's been phenomenal in that area. I would say I have done a little bit of a heel turn on Jaylen Brown. I was probably sour on him last year.
Interesting.
I thought he was maybe a little bit overrated. For what, but I've changed my mind here. I think Jaylen Brown is a deserving player. He definitely is an all-star, and I think he should be an all-star starter. So
yeah, I like it. Yeah, especially when you're that dominant in the East. I mean,
exactly right. You're the number one team. You're still I believe they're still the number one team in the NBA, and like, you're looking at how they do on offense. You're looking how big of a contributor Brown is to what that team does offensively. I mean, it's no question for me, at least.
Yeah.
Let's keep going with the East, though, so we can go with the East, and then we'll switch over to the West.
Works.
We'll start with our three front court players as our reserves.
Okay.
I know the first front court player is obviously the one that's left off from the starters. So for both of us, it'll be Embiid. Mm-hmm. And then there's two more spots.
Yes.
I think Pascal Siakam is a lock in one of those spots. Mm-hmm. I hope that you agree so that I don't have to get the bat out. Not for hitting reasons, by the way, folks. For going to bat for my guy.
I am so sorry for putting that on you. Oh, that's my God.
Wow. Just unbelievable. Anyways.
I agree. He is a lock. You agree? I agree.
Yeah. I mean, look. Pascal's been awesome all season. He has been keeping the Raptors alive offensively. I think defensively he's had some lapses here, but like when it comes to the ground coverage that he has, he's probably also in the top 10 in miles traveled this season. He's definitely in the top 10 in minutes. He is doing virtually everything for the Raptors, averaging 25, 8-7, and he's averaging a career high in assists as well, career high in assist percentage. The man has just been phenomenal this year. He is, if the Raptors don't lose their way out of a spot, I think he's pretty much one of those guys that you have to pencil in at the very least into an all-NBA spot. So, I'm going to go ahead and say Pascal as a lock. That means one more front court spot, and I'm curious to see where you went with this because I feel like there's two players that people gravitate towards.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'm curious which one you went with. And they may be teammates. So, I'm sorry. I'm doing too many hints. Go ahead.
I went with Bam here.
Okay. Same.
I went with Bam. I think what he's doing is like the steps forward that he's continuing to take, especially when during stretches where they don't have Jimmy or they're just struggling to put it together. Maybe Lowry's having a tough stretch.
Yeah. He's been their healthiest player, by the way, out of all the,
he does it all for them.
Yeah.
He's just, He's phenomenal. So, yes. So, obviously, we both are in on Pascal, in on Bam, and then KD is my guy here since I put him on the bench with Embiid.
Oh, I got you.
And the starter.
Look, honestly, you're bang on. I was watching the Heat game the other day, and just – I think it was Miami and Boston. And just the aggressiveness that Bam had, the way that he was looking for his own shot, settling into mid-range jumpers. He's shooting a career high on mid-range shots this season, by the way. And doing, like, he's still just as impactful of a passer. He's still just as impactful of a defender. And he's doing it in a way that looks like he's the number one option on that team. Jimmy has not been healthy this season, although that's kind of picking up. Right. And Hero has missed a couple of games here and there as well. Bam has been their most available player, their best player. And to me, if Jimmy gets in over Bam, it's a travesty. As much as that's putting two teammates, you know, against each other.
Right.
If Jimmy Butler gets the nod, it's more of a reputation nod than it is
exactly
an actual you've been watching the Miami Heat nod. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like those are the things that will really drive me crazy about the All-Star selections sometimes, especially with some of the way the voting is structured. Yeah. And not to go down that whole rabbit hole. And so when you're looking at the reserves and you're looking at, okay, you've got the guards, you've got even like the kind of wings, like a Jimmy, like a middle guy. And then you've got the front court players, like the true front court players. To me, the way Bam sticks out versus Jimmy amongst that group of peers, there's just no way you can take Bam out of the conversation and then include Jimmy over maybe even some of these other guys. So to me, I kind of think Bam is a lock, which might be a little bit of a take, but I think he's earned it. And I think
I agree,
especially if they maybe hit their stride in the second half of the season and kind of really get things going. He's going to be a massive part of that the way he already is. So he has to get it for me.
Just to come back on that games played number. So the only player who has played more games this season on the Heat than Bam has been Max Strus at 47 games. Bam Adebayo has played 44 games, Jimmy Butler 34, and Tyler Hero 37. Bam is averaging the same amount of points per game as Jimmy. He's doing it more efficiently, although he doesn't shoot as much threes. He's rebounding more. He's not averaging as many assists, but the defense is still there. He is the all-encompassing rim protector and, you know, shot deterrer, if you will, at the rim for Miami. I think it's no question to me that Bam should be in there. So the front court spots are pretty solidified.
Yes.
The guards, we talked about a couple of them, but I just want to make sure which ones you've got in there. Tyrese Haliburton, yes.
Yes.
Kyrie Irving, yes, you obviously said that. And Jaylen Brown, right. Yes, you obviously said that. That leaves a couple more spots left, wild card spots as well. I think James Harden for me is a guy who I'm throwing in there. The way the Sixers have surged this season, especially as of late, a lot of that has to do with Harden, who is, I believe, leading the league in assists still. Let me double check that. But look, he's doing some great work as their kind of like their creator, their all-encompassing creator. The pick and roll with him and Joel Embiid has been absolutely unstoppable. And yes, he is leading the league in assists at 11.1. I think there's no question to me that he is an all-star, although I have heard some stuff about like, hey, maybe there's some other guys who are deserving. I don't really see that because of how well Philadelphia has done over the last 2 months and the way Harden has looked in those 2 months as this creator, as this scorer, as a guy who works off of Embiid. The way that he is setting up Embiid is so... It's magnificent. He's making passes in those pick and rolls that, you know, to some may look like casual passes, but these are hard pinpoint passes that he's making. And for him to kind of adjust from being the number one option for the bulk of his career to being a number two option here in Philadelphia, I think he's also a lock for me, to be honest with you.
He's in there for sure.
Yeah. So, wild card spots. Who do you got?
So I think last...
Let me just double check. We got Embiid, Giannis, Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Kyrie Irving or Jaylen Brown.
Yep.
Kevin Durant, Pascal Siakam, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Haliburton, James Harden. Which means we've got one spot left.
Yes.
Who is that one spot going to? By the way, I feel like there are a lot of guys here that you could go with. I think there are a lot of options.
For sure.
You could give the Bucks a second all-star with Brooke Lopez, having a defensive player of the year type of candidate. You know, he's up there. I think he might still be the favorite. Mm-hmm. Jared Allen, the Cavaliers are still a great defense, and a lot of that has to do with Jared Allen. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler, as we talked about just now, even though the game's played, is probably, you know, a little bit of a ding on him. Trae Young has had an off-shooting season.
Yeah.
Poor shooting season. You haven't been the biggest fan of Trae Young this season with the whole coaching rumors and whatnot. Feels like every podcast, you're like, look at the Atlanta Hawks.
That's because I am rooted in my trades.
I know.
And the Hawks are just, it's coming.
Yeah. Some would say DeMar DeRozan deserves a nod there. I think there's there's clear, you know, the way that he's doing it. He's having almost the same type of season he had last year where he was an all-star starter. And some would maybe even say someone from the New York Knicks should make it on there because they're doing so well this season. I'm going to go ahead and say yes. It should be someone from the New York Knicks that should make it.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, I think Jalen Brunson should be an all-star this year. I think he is everything that New York wanted from a point guard. They have been looking for a point guard for so long, and it has helped them tremendously. He's averaging 22-6. He's doing it pretty efficiently. He's shooting 40% from three. The way that he is setting guys up, setting the platter up for Julius Randle, playing and making RJ Barrett look a little bit better. He has been so instrumental to everything they've done that I just feel they're winning. The reason the Knicks are winning is, Julius Randle is having a bounce back season. Yeah, RJ Barrett is figuring things out. But a lot of those things is because they signed Jalen Brunson. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to Brunson, that final all-star nod.
I like it. I like it. You know, I do, as much as I like to come down on the team out of Atlanta, I did give them the nod.
Oh, you gave Trae the nod?
I gave it to Trae. Even though the Hawks are having their struggles, the numbers are there. I think the shooting can kind of, he can bounce back a little bit with that. And I think some of their struggles as a team, while he is their lead guy, I think there are some just other things going on that are kind of leading to, or maybe the cause even for their overall struggles. And so while some of that blame may go on Trae just naturally, I can't blame it all on him, and the numbers are enough for me to put him on the All-Star team. 44 games this year, 27, just under 10 assists at 9.9. So even though the shooting numbers are a little are what they are, it's hard for me to ignore those numbers.
I get it. I think for me it's hard to refute, like, look, Trae Young, with the usage that he has and the way that he is handling the rock for the Hawks, it makes sense that he's putting up the numbers that he's putting up. The efficiency isn't there, and I think that kind of digged me because it's like, look, Trae is going to have the opportunities in Atlanta. He's going to be able to shoot the ball. He's going to have the ball in his hand, so the assist numbers will always be there. The points will always be there. The efficiency dropping for me was a big part in showing that he's not having as good of a season as he would like. So I get it. I understand. But if I had to go to bat for my guy, I think Jalen Brunson, the Knicks have played better this season. They are obviously higher in the standings because of it.
I like it.
I think he's been a wholly more impactful player, even though some would argue that, like, take Trae out of Atlanta and see how they look, right? There's always that argument, but I think I think for me, just how good he's been this season and how important he's been to what New York does, I think I go Brunson over Trae. But yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think when you're looking at their roster construction and kind of how maybe New York uses someone like Julius Randle and even tries to give RJ that opportunity, I would be interested to see if Jalen had potentially gone to a team where he had the opportunity to get the usage rating that Trae gets to work with on a night-to-night basis. I do wonder what those numbers would look like if they would be shifted more towards the scoring or the assists, like just how that would look for how he plays and how he leads an offense. But for me, I mean, the Hawks are only one game back from the Knicks. And I mean, it's close in both conferences. But yeah, I think for Trae, I do got to give him the nod.
Well, actually, this is something funny I wanted to bring up. So They kind of released the results of where players ranked the guys who got voted, and where fans ranked the guys who got voted, and where media ranked the guys who got voted. This is something really funny. Okay, I'll send it over to you afterwards. You go and you look at the list, and it's like, okay, you know, Giannis player rank number one, fan rank number one, media rank number two. Okay, it kind of makes sense. Okay, and then you scroll down, you go and you notice you're like, player rank number 12. Who is that? And it's Trae Young. Out of all the guards in the Eastern Conference, Trae Young was voted dead last by players. By the players, he was ranked dead last. He made it. The fans ranked him fifth amongst East guards. The media ranked him sixth amongst East guards. Players ranked him 12th. And by the way, it only showed us 10 options. So that means that there were two other people not listed on the top 10 that got more player votes than Trae Young. That to me, I mean, to your point, Lauren, of the craziness and what happened with the situation and how Trae looks as a locker room leader and whatnot. All the things you've brought up in this podcast, right? I think the players who voted on this seem to agree. So, yeah.
Yeah, the stuff with Trae, I mean, getting last in terms of player votes, there's a lot that comes with the respect from your peers and people around the league. And so to kind of see that is very telling. And I think it's fascinating because I think you got a lot of guys that maybe might like how Trae, I mean, I would have thought, okay, some of these guys, they might, I don't want to say like, oh, think he's cool, but like they might not have any problems with him. I don't necessarily see him going out there and looking for feuds or anything like that. But then every now and then there will be a little bit of like jawing. There's the New York, Atlanta stuff. Mm-hmm. But to me, that said a lot. And so I want to know what that's about. Is there a lack of respect or is it just like a dislike? You know what I mean? And so I think it's fascinating. It's definitely something I'm going to keep an eye on moving forward because I had not seen that yet. So
yeah, because his style, and I feel like a lot of people have said this about Luka, but I don't think it applies to Luka as much. But his style doesn't seem like someone who you would like to be teammates with.
Yeah.
Sitting around and camping in the corner is not fun to do.
That's fair.
So I bet Trae is kind of on the receiving end of that. And then the whole foul merchant thing, you know, the foul stuff. So maybe they don't like that. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but interesting enough. Okay. So for the most part, we had pretty much the same Eastern Conference All-Stars. Yep. Swap in Brunson for Trae and we're pretty much good.
Yep.
Right. You had Trae, I had Brunson. Western Conference All-Stars. So we're going to go with the guys who got voted on. These are the starters. These are the people who are going to be the Western Conference All-Stars. They're going to be the starters. So look, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, Zion Williamson, Steph Curry, and Luka Doncic, your guy. Any objections? Anything that jumps out to you very quickly? I have one minor objection.
Okay,
but I'm curious to see if you have any before I kind of jump in here.
My objection is Zion Williamson. I don't.
Okay.
I'm not on board. I think there are other people. I'm on board with him being on the team, on the All-Star team. I'm not on board with him being a starter.
Okay.
And it comes obviously availability is really the only thing, and I think that there are other guys that are contributing to wins, are available and are putting up equally as impressive, if not more impressive, I think you can make an argument, numbers. And I think that guy is out there and I think he's in the front court. So I chose him over Zion.
I'm assuming the guy you're talking about, and I don't know, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm assuming, and you know what people say about assumers. Okay, all right. And look, so maybe I'm assuming, but I think that person you're talking about is Domantas Sabonis. Is that correct?
That is the person.
Yeah. So look, I think that's the one thing I would nitpick at.
Yeah.
Is Sabonis over Zion Williamson. I think I'm less how do I put this, strong on the whole not Zion thing. Yeah. And the reason is because I think Zion, if he did play as many games, would probably be the starter for me. The difference in games played is pretty stark, though.
It is.
45 games played for Domantas Sabonis, and it is 29 games played for Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the injury stuff, the injury concerns with Zion consistently loom, but he has been incredible when he's played. And I think the Pelicans have also been incredible when he's played. He has been a super impactful player, especially with Brandon Ingram missing even more time than Zion has and dealing with that toe injury. Zion had to kind of carry the boat. He had to carry the ship and kind of keep things going, make them look good. And to be honest with you, he had them as a number one seed in the West for a couple of weeks there. So I don't hate the Zion pick, but I absolutely understand any Kings fan, any enjoyer of Sacramento basketball this season saying this is absolutely ridiculous and that Domantas Sabonis should have been the all-star starter. Sabonis has been one of the most impactful players in the NBA this season. He's probably going to be a all-NBA type of player. I'm just going to pull up his stats here just so I don't butcher them. But like, look, the Kings are the number one offense in the league this season. A big portion of that, a big reason is actually probably the reason is because of Domantas Sabonis. I mean, if you haven't watched the breakdown videos, if you haven't watched any videos on how this Kings offense is humming, first of all, I suggest you do. Second of all, I would say Domantas Sabonis, the way he works as a dribble handoff hub, playmaking post, a post playmaking hub, a guy who can essentially be your like Jokic-esque type of player. He has exceeded all expectations in that realm. He has made Kevin Huerter look like Klay Thompson. He has made De'Aaron Fox look like John Wall. He's genuinely brought the best out of his teammates. And I think that definitely deserves a nod. So I'm with you. I think if the one thing from the All-Star starters I'd have to nitpick from, it probably wouldn't be the fact that Kyrie Irving is on there. It would be the Zion over Sabonis thing. So I'm with you on there, but probably not as strong as like, there's no way. I cannot believe it. This is crazy. So no, I'm not there yet. I think Zion does have a case. It's just the games played is massive and it's stark. So
yeah, when I was looking at the front court, because the guards, honestly, it's Luka that messes everything up.
Right.
But when I'm looking at who's going to go in the front court next to Jokic, I was looking at Zion, Sabonis, and Anthony Davis. And so when I'm looking at all of them, obviously they impact the game in different ways, but the games play different. I mean, you've got Anthony Davis and Zion are both in that 20. They're in the 20s in terms of games played. And then you've got Sabonis over here averaging 18, 12 rebounds and 7 assists with, I think you mentioned the best offense in the league. And I mean, it's very hard for me to ignore that. And I don't know. I think
I get
some,
it's
hard. It's hard. But I think the I'm a big, if I can take an opportunity to give some smaller market / middle market teams a nod, I'm going to do it. And I think the Kings have positioned themselves well to get that respect and to get that nod. So I have to give it to them.
Kind of curious to see where people went. So
yeah,
the players ranked him fifth, which it's still not enough to make him a starter, but the fans ranked him ninth. So there's a clear gap in terms of the fan stuff that has hurt him. But In terms of the media, they got it right. They voted him third. So, I mean, I'm with you there. I think if I could go back, I would probably put Sabonis over Zion. I have him as my third All-Star starter right now. So I have the exact same starting lineup except Sabonis over Zion. And Zion obviously makes it in as a reserve. Do we want to continue with our front court players and then go to the guards? Because I feel like the guard spots are stacked.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, so we have Zion as one of them. We have two more spots left in our front court. You mentioned Anthony Davis. I think there's another guy that's a lock over Anthony Davis, though. And that's a guy who we've kind of talked about a lot here on this podcast. We've harped on a lot. I think he's probably winning the Most Improved Player Award. Lauri Markkanen. I think without a doubt, he has been an all-star this season. Maybe you disagree with that. I'm not sure. But he's been averaging 25 points. He's shooting the lights out from three on over seven attempts a game. He's shooting 43% from three on over seven attempts a game. That's outrageous. Mm-hmm. He's almost a 50-40-90 guy. He's averaging eight and a half rebounds, 1.5 assists. He's just doing it all for Utah. Mm-hmm. The way that he's getting to his buckets is really, really interesting to me because it shows his development as a player from Chicago to Cleveland and now to Utah, where he's playing more of a wing instead of being a big man. So I love the development that he's had. I think for me, most of all, I love when guys take these leaps, and when they take these type of leaps, regardless of how telegraphed these improvements are, like I think you have to give them credit, and that credit is in the form of an all-star nod. So I feel like he's a lock. And also, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the all-star game is going to be in Utah. Yeah. They're playing in Salt Lake City. I hope to be there in Salt Lake City watching Lauri Markkanen play basketball. He deserves it. He deserves the all-star nod. I'm going to bat for the guy. So yes,
I like
Lowry
it.
Gets it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got Lowry on my reserves. He's not in my starters.
Fault. So I thought we were good on starters.
I might not be.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I don't know if we can do the rewind effect here, ladies and gentlemen, but let's run it back for a second. Okay, cool. Sabonis, you have as your starter. Jokic, you have as your starter. Mm-hmm. Luka, I imagine you have as your starter. Steph and LeBron, which one of those two do you not have as your starter?
I do not have Steph as my starter.
Okay, cool. Talk to me about it, because I think the games played thing is an interesting factor. So talk to me about it.
It is ultimately that, because the numbers are there. It's the quantity. It's the quantity for me. So I talked about availability and I talked about impacting winning. And if your numbers are there and you're doing both of those things, you are ultimately going to be at the top. And so somebody that has very similar numbers but has been available and is in fact winning more than the Golden State Warriors is Memphis's own Ja Morant. And I think he deserves to be in the starting five for the West.
Okay, so let me talk to you about this. All right,
let's do it.
Yeah,
I know it's unpopular, so let's do it.
Yeah. So if you're saying the whole games played argument, which I can understand, right? I feel like I would take another player instead of Ja.
Okay. Yep.
And let's that guy is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah. I mean, he's played 44 games for them, same amount of games as Luka. He's averaging 35-5 on nearly 50-40-90 efficiency.
Right.
He has been spectacular. He is the reason the Thunder are in a play-in spot or near a play-in spot. He's the only reason they're competitive this season, although I think they've had a lot of fun flashes. We've talked about this, folks. We did the Young Course podcast. Giddy, Dort, all of them, they look fun, but SGA is the main top 10 type of player. Mm-hmm. If I had to swap out Curry for anybody, I would lean SGA.
Interesting.
Over Jaw.
Right.
But I'm curious to see, is the winning that much of a factor for you there? Is it the fact that the Grizzlies are up top?
It is. It is. It's the fact that not, because the West is really tight, but they are at the top and Jaw's got 27, 5.5 rebounds and 8 assists. So the points, the offensive impact that he's having on the game, while Shai is, it's very difficult in this league to continue to put up numbers, the numbers that Shai is doing or is putting up. I think Jaw is, his numbers are right there. I think it's just the points that have so many people with Shai being like, wow, look at what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so for me, their numbers are pretty comparable, and it's the winning that takes it over the edge for me for Ja. But I absolutely think that Shai, he cannot get like overrated, overlooked, anything. I absolutely think he deserves to be in that conversation. And it was funny, there were so many times doing these the tiers, the rankings, the starters versus non-starters, or even making the team versus not making the team. And I found myself looking, like comparing three at a time. And at one point it was who gets that final starting spot, Ja, Steph, or Shai. And I briefly looked at Dame, but I just was like, I can't take Dame over either any of those three, even though his numbers are phenomenal this year. So the guard spot in the West, it's stacked. Very, very tough. It's very tough.
Very tough. And I think... I think we can agree that Luka, Steph, John, SGA, they're all All-Stars. They are the surefire guys. Yeah, no question. It's just like what option do you want to go with, really? I wouldn't hate anybody for saying Steph. I think he's been phenomenal when he's played. He's played 33 games. He's kind of getting back into form. By the time the reserves get announced next week, he will have played almost 40 games. So I'm comfortable in terms of the games played stuff. Like, I'm not
too bad.
It's not like a Zion situation or an AD situation where you're like, wow, that he's played like a little bit over 20 games. He's less than 30 games this season. How am I going to kind of say yes to that? But yeah, I get it. I understand. That was a spicy take, but it's appreciated.
That's what I got to bring. That's what I got to bring to the Objective Basketball Podcast.
I got you. Yeah, I got you. Okay, cool. Let's move on to reserves now.
Let's do it.
So we know that John, SGA, or in your situation, Stephen, SGA, are your all-star nods for the guard spots.
Yes.
We have three forward spots. I already mentioned Lauri Markkanen. We already talked about either Zion or Sabonis. There's one more forward spot. I'm wondering what direction you went with that.
So this is where I went with AD. I think... Even though availability, I've struggled a lot with that. I think if he had been available and was putting up these numbers, he'd be in my starting group. So to me, it's okay. The numbers are so impressive, but because you're not available, you have to be bumped down to the reserves. So he's there for me. But again, you know, you've got plenty of other guys out there that are very much a part of this conversation, but I just can't ignore the season that AD has been having, even though it's somewhat limited.
27-12 on 60% shooting.
It's insane.
He's shooting 60% from the field and dropping 27-12. I mean, this is the most he's played center in his career. He's really feasting inside this season. Yes, he's only played 26 games and he just returned recently against San Antonio. The games will go up as he gets the reserve nod. He'll probably get to 30 by then. I think that Anthony Davis is an all-star. I put him on my all-star reserves. And to your point, yeah, if he had played more games, the West front court starting spot would be a lot harder to decide between him and Sabonis.
Definitely.
So yeah, I agree with you. I think AD is right there. The West is kind of easy when you look at it that way, because now it's two spots, two wild card spots, and you can go a lot of different ways, but I feel like it's pretty clear cut which ways to go. I'll just give you mine real quickly and see if we have any differences. I went Devin Booker.
Okay.
And I went Paul George. So I'm curious because I feel like we might have a difference there. I don't know if I'm kind of too high on Paul George's season this year, but Devin Booker, I mean, the way the Suns have played this season without Devin Booker should be an all-star candidacy by itself. And hello, Winston,
this man,
what's going
he's
on?
He's ruining my life.
The attention seeker right here. I love him. That's awesome. That's the best thing about cats. If my 100-pound dog had did the same thing to me, I would be in pain right
he
now.
He does not care at all. He doesn't care at all. He's probably going to fall, but Jesus. Does not care.
So cats, they do actually flip over on their back, right, when they fall.
Half the time I don't even understand it. I just shake my head and keep it moving.
It's all good. He just wanted to hear me talk about Devin Booker. That's what it was.
He wants you to see him. 100%.
Yep, you're right. So I'm gonna go D Book and Paul George. I think, like, look, the fact how the Suns have looked without Devin Booker is an all-star nod in itself. Yeah. The numbers are crazy. Also, 27-5-5. He's doing it very efficiently. He was the lifeblood of that Suns offense when he was there. He ran everything. He was just like it. Trust me, the best case for Devin Booker being an all-star this year is how they've looked without him. He's without a doubt in my kind of spot there. Do you have Devin Booker?
I do have Devin Booker.
Now, do you have Paul George?
I do not.
Yes. I figured Paul George was the line of delineation. And it seems like, by the way, that final wild card spot is where we've deferred so far. Trey versus Brunson, and now Paul George versus...
Damian Lillard. Yeah. It's so hard to ignore the numbers for me. And it's...
Yeah.
I don't know. At first, I was like, okay, when I'm looking at from, I don't want to say from an eye test, but when I'm looking at the standings and I'll take like a brief look, but then I'll be like, okay, who do I think will end up being my snubs before I kind of go through it? And then when you really start diving into the numbers and you see someone, I mean, not similar to Shea, but when you see somebody that's reaching that 30 point per game average, that is something that I can't ignore. So I had to give it to Dame. And I also, with the Clippers, too many questions, the availability. Sometimes when I see PG, sometimes when I see Kawhi, I'm like, oh man, I just have too many questions. And with Dame, I think you know what you're getting. The numbers are there. So I had to give him the nod.
I'm really curious because I think there's another guy out there between Paul George, Dame, and this person that might get some consideration. That's De'Aaron Fox. I think the Kings have been good enough to get a second All-Star. I think Fox has been essential. How he's looked in clutch, like the way he's scoring in clutch and the efficiency he's doing at is insane. Sabonis has obviously opened up so much of his game, but I wonder if Fox gets some consideration here because he's looked awesome. I mean, the guard spot is stacked in the West and he may not get it, but man, he's looked great. I'm cool with Dame. I mean, whenever you average 30 and you're doing it on 50, 36, what is it? Hold on, let me pull it up here. 46, 38, 90 shooting splits. He's also averaging 7.5 assists. The Blazers aren't winning a bunch. They're not winning as much as I would have hoped they would have won, but Dame is putting up ridiculous numbers. I mean, last night, what was it? Last night he dropped 60, or the night before that he dropped 60. He did drop 60 at some point this week.
It was January 25th last night. Jesus, that feels like forever ago.
I know. It does feel like forever ago, and especially since I've been watching This Is Us, it really feels like forever ago. But
I love this. I had no idea. I love this.
Yeah, I know. But look, 30. Yeah, I don't debate that. I think that's totally fine to throw Damian Lillard on there. And honestly, his play as of late is making my Paul George pick look stupid. I think if I had to change it up right now, I would switch. You know what? I'm going to do it. It's not like there's anything set in stone. Well, I'm gonna pick Dame over Paul George. There we go. So we have the exact same Western Conference All-Stars. The only East thing is Jalen Brunson over Trae Young, in which we will fight for forever and ever. I picked your Dallas Mavericks guy, funny enough, and you're taking an Atlanta that Hawks guy. Funny connection there. I wanted to talk about a couple of rumors that have hit the rumor mill before we head out. Obviously, the big rumor, something that I had posted, was the Bob McCown podcast reporting that OG Anunoby wants out. I am not going to go into too much detail of what I found, but what I will say is that the person that he spoke to is a pretty reliable source in that department. And, you know, I kind of vetted and double checked the sources there to see what was accurate. I think it is interesting. It's an interesting perspective to have because of what we heard last summer from what OG Anunoby, you know, him not being happy in Toronto and wanting out. And there have been rumblings this season of some of the players not being as happy. You know, the CJ McCollum situation where he kind of said that some of the players on the Raptors aren't happy. It's an interesting thing to look at. I'm not sure how that changes how the Raptors approach the deadline. I think if I'm Toronto and OG does want out, it does make sense for this deadline to be the time to move him. Because in the summer, there might be more offers out there in the summer, but also he only has one more year on his contract.
Right.
Whereas now you're getting him for 1.5 and he might not be looking for... You know what I mean? So you can kind of sell him that way a little bit more. The value is higher right now to move on an OG Anunoby than it might be in the summer or even next trade deadline. Yeah. And if the offer is out there, you know, there were reported packages of, you know, multiple picks, prospects and whatnot. If those type of packages are out there, if the Pelicans are offering something with a Dyson Daniels included or a Herb Jones and Tramer, whatever, right? If something like that is included, you take that and run. I really do think you take that and run because if a guy doesn't want to be there, I mean, like
There's only so much you can do,
There's only so much you can do, exactly. Recouping on your assets probably makes the most amount of sense. So that's all I'll say on the OG front. I don't know if you have anything to say add onto that, but
yeah,
I guess you hope he's a Maverick at some point.
Oh God, wouldn't that be? I tweeted before the season started, here's my realistic trade, here's my what's probably and going to happen, and then here's my absolute dream scenario, and my dream scenario was OG Anunoby.
The reason it's a dream
is because the Mavericks can't afford it. But I do agree with you that I think now is the time to sell if there is enough internal pressure, you know, supposedly coming from him that he is ready to move on. Now is the time to maximize on that return value, especially with what's been rumored, like you said, in terms of how many picks have been potentially talked about going back out there, to Toronto. And it's not even just the number of picks, but this draft that's coming up is one that Toronto is absolutely going to want to be able to maximize on. And so if I'm them, and I mean, we've been hearing all season about everyone in the league wants OG Anunoby. He's a fit on literally every single team. That's very rare. And so things do change when you're in that final year of the contract. And if you do find yourself there and there's just been more and more momentum of, okay, he wants out, then that does affect the value. I think we're sort of seeing that a little bit to a lesser degree with Miles Turner. And so I think Masai is too smart and too savvy to let a situation go in the direction that he doesn't want it to go. So I'm going to be really fascinated to see which teams seem to be more and more aggressive on the OG Anunoby front. And for me, I'm looking at a New Orleans and even New York. Those are the two teams that I'm kind of looking at. I think that there are plenty of other options and he could end up elsewhere. But I think those two are kind of in a very fascinating position to where they could pull that trigger if they wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, I think another team I would throw out there is Memphis because...
Yeah, Memphis too, yeah.
You know, I have a video coming out about this on Saturday, but they're in a position where, like, Jaw is just entering his max deal. Jaren Jackson Jr. is on his deal already. Desmond Bain has a season after this, and then after that, he's getting big money. And Dylan Brooks is looking for a contract extension this summer. So their payroll is starting to add up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And before they do that, they can kind of capitalize on the situation, trade a couple guys, trade some of their prospects, and get another guy in there so that they can kind of, like, this is the time where if they're smart, they can get four guys on max deals. Max value players without having them on the deals that are max value, because you obviously can't afford that. But I think it's possible. And, like, look, if they want to throw their hat in the ring for OG Anunoby, I think it would make sense. I think they have the extra picks to do it. They obviously have the prospects to do it. It could be interesting. And, you know, who knows? I think there was a report that for the Raptors' last home game, I believe it was against the Knicks, the Grizzlies scouts were there, Spurs scouts were there, Timberwolves scouts were there. A lot of discussions and a lot of conversations probably happening on that home stretch. But look, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a lot of conversations and a lot of dealings in these next 2 weeks. We are officially 14 days until the trade deadline. Stay tuned with the Objective Podcast here. We are going to break it down for y'all. Everything that comes through the radar, whether it be rumors, whether it be actual trades, you know, whatever there is to do with the trade deadline, we have you guys covered. Appreciate you guys tuning into the Objective Podcast. Lauren, it is always a pleasure. And I'll see you guys soon. Take care. Going to bat. I'm going to bat. I'm not doing anything else with this bat.
Oh my God. I can't believe I said that.
Just S. Barahini on all socials and at The Lauren Gunn on Twitter. The Objective Basketball Podcast, delivering the NBA to you like no other.